Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
There's no reason to rehash all the things that happened when Rodgers was a Jet. But there's things about what he said, if you're to believe everything he said, that would give you some concern about the new regime sort of getting their feet wet as a first-time GM and a first-time head coach. So he wants to get into it. He wants to talk about it in this interview as I was listening, driving in. And he said that he thought he was going to fly across country and it was going to be hours of talking. And even if they were going to move on from him, he figured they would pick his brain and it would just be one of these real productive things. And it turned out that he sits in there, and as he's talking with Aaron Glenn in the middle of the conversation, as Aaron Rodgers tells it, Aaron Glenn gets up and darts out of the room. And he's like, well, that's really weird. We're in the middle of a conversation. So then he brings in Darren Mooji at that point. So he goes out of the room, he brings in Mooji. So then they're all three of them are sitting there, and they're talking. And then apparently, according to Aaron Rodgers, Mooji's talking, and then Aaron Glenn scoots up to the end of his seat and goes, so you want to play football? And then Aaron Rodgers says, well, I mean, I'm trying to figure that out, you know, I don't know. And then he goes, well, we're going to go in a different direction. And then at that point, Aaron Rodgers is like, well, I flew across country on my own dime here for this to happen, and you're just like kind of acting in this way. And then, you know, he also said something along the lines of, he goes, you know, how do you want this to go down? Like, how do you want the release and the messaging? And Aaron Rodgers is like, I don't care about the messaging. And he goes, well, what I don't want to happen is have you stand in the back of the room, and then I tell the team, you know, we're moving on from you. And then all the teammates are looking back at you and rolling their eyes. And Aaron Rodgers goes, well, you think I'm just going to stand back there and undermine you as the head? Like, you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Glenn goes, well, you don't know me. And then Aaron Rodgers says, exactly. That's why I flew out here to talk to you. And now you're just assuming things about me. And this is weird. So it ended up being like a 15-minute meeting. He hung around the facility for a little bit. He saw some of the training staff, and then he left, and that was that. But probably the most alarming thing that he said was a throwaway line that I don't know if many people, because that was big news there, might have picked up on. He goes, I feel like the coach, meaning Aaron Glenn, went a little rogue in this meeting because mm-hmm. I had since had conversations with the general manager.
And Christopher Johnson.
So that to me is like, are you guys serious? You weren't on the same page there
mm-hmm.
to the point where Aaron Glenn is now going rogue in this meeting? to the point where now Muji's reaching out after the fact going, hey, man, I'm sorry. Now, I don't know if Muji is lying to Aaron Rodgers and doing a good cop, bad cop thing. But Christopher Johnson, that it clearly he hates Woody, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, some of the things he was saying, never mentioned his name, because I shouldn't be surprised with some of the stuff that I saw there in the 2 years and all these things with Woody. But Christopher Johnson's a really, really nice guy, so he's always going to have a good relationship with the players. But, like, I don't always believe everything Aaron Rodgers says, and sometimes he could be a bit insufferable, but I believe everything he said yesterday, and I could not believe that they would handle it like that.
Well, so first off, I don't know that had I not seen Aaron Glenn with the media on the handful of occasions that we have since he's gotten this job, I don't know that I would have believed this. I would have thought that this was some Aaron Rodgers bull crap and maybe, you know, highlighting or going a little too far and exaggerating a bit. But having seen the way Aaron Glenn dealt with Rich Cimini and the Jet reporters and shutting down the quarterback talk, and it's my way or the highway type of attitude, which, by the way, if you win is fine. But boy, oh boy, if you don't win, the fans are going to get sick of that attitude very quickly.
Well, the players, too.
The players, too. So this is how I look at everything. We have sat there, and I'd be the first one who sat there and killed Aaron Rodgers for the distractions he caused when he talked about not being having a team full of distractions, but I really feel like he was a big part of that. Okay, fine. We'll put that to the side. When I look at this in particular, and I watched it, and I saw the body. By the way, clean shaven. He looks like he's 10 years younger.
Yeah, and really happy out there in Malibu, talking about looking at the dolphins. Yeah,
but everything he described, having seen Glenn with the media and the attitude he has, it made sense. I could actually envision the entire thing exactly the way Aaron Rodgers laid it out for us, and I don't think he was exaggerating at all. That sounds like the personality of Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, he needs to chill out a little bit. He's coming in here with too much of a chip on his shoulder and too much of I like the attitude of things have to change around here and I have to have a stern personality and be the man. And those are the things we were asking for in a head coach, but someone with just experience, like, you know, you have to have the alpha, you have to have that guy, but he's taking it too far. He's fighting with everybody. He's going into this thing assuming things about everybody, which I really don't like. You know, it's almost as if he was given this briefing by Woody Johnson or someone else in the organization, like, watch out for this guy. This guy's a jerk. This here is opposed to coming in and forming his own opinions on the situation.
Maybe.
And he's just coming in and just fighting everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe. I'm envisioning this now, like a year from now, him saying, you know, I came in here with a little bit too much of a chip on my shoulder, and I learned in the first year that, you know, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, and I need to chill out. And then, by the way, he also, Aaron Rodgers, talked glowingly about Brian Daboll.
Yeah, he did.
How much he loved Brian Daboll.
A beautiful football mind.
A beautiful football mind, exactly.
Yeah.
Really loves the guy, and he was awesome, and he really loved those conversations and all of that stuff, so... I mean, it's telling to me, and these are the things that I was worried about when you're hiring all these first-time guys again with the Jets, is just, like, how are they going to figure all this out on the fly?
The other thing you pointed out, which also goes to Rodgers' credit on his way out the door, was the reaction from the current players on the roster. Now, they brought in Justin Fields. That's fine. They're not going with a rookie who's done nothing. I mean, he was 4-2 last year. He was drafted very highly out of Ohio State, so it's not like they brought in a nobody. So I want to be clear about that. But, you know, when they let him go, you saw the tweets, and some were taken down. But I forget who it was, but there were a couple. Like, here we go, rebuilding again. Like, it seems to me that the players inside that, there's been a narrative by some that Aaron Rodgers is a team killer and he's an arrogant, selfish SOB. But then when you hear and talk to the players, it doesn't sound like that at all. It seems like there are two different narratives and stories, and you don't know which one's real. But I will tell you, the more I see of him and the more I have read and seen from his former teammates, the document, all this different stuff, I sometimes think, you know, maybe it's the Jets. Maybe it's been the Jets. The injury sucked. There's nothing we can do about year one. I can't. No. If I go back, I was actually thinking of this driving in because I saw the headlines before I watched the McAfee thing this morning. I was trying to think back to 2 years ago when the Rodgers to the Jets thing was a thing, and then when Rodgers to the Jets thing became a thing and became official, and the way he was received at Madison Square Garden and anywhere he went, and the idea that the Jets had a guy, there was nobody. I mean, you find me the group of people that thought it was a bad idea. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Not because he came here and completely sucked, but because, you know, the same way Vinny Testaverde's Achilles ruptured on the first quarter of the first game of the season. Crap happens, and it's a shame it didn't work out. But I'd love to know and be a fly in the room and know exactly how everybody feels about this guy.
Yeah, and I think that probably all of it is true. Like, I probably think that Garrett Wilson never got along on the same page as Aaron Rodgers, and him bringing in Devontae Adams pissed him off. I think that Mike Williams really didn't like the fact that he got publicly roasted about the red line and he's not where he's supposed to be, and he probably could have handled that different. I also think that there's guys like Quinnen Williams and some of the guys on the defense that really appreciated him, and young guys that took his advice. And, you know, when Mekhi Becton was here the first year, you know, prior to going to Philadelphia, they had a relationship and some of those. I think all of it's true, because I just think that you can be different versions of yourself,
yep.
You know, and it depends on what experience you have. No one has the same consensus on any particular person. So I think all of it's true, but I just, the fact that the Jets made him fly out and handled the meeting that way is, and he said that, you know, I just felt it lacked respect. I mean, which it did. I mean, if that's the truth, that's disrespectful and it's unprofessional, and hopefully it's not a sign of things to come. But now, and by the way, as we talk about the players and how they feel about them, the players who liked Aaron Rodgers are now going to watch that.
Oh, for sure.
And they're the ones that didn't want Aaron Rodgers to go are now going to have this on top of that, and are going to go into this season with even more of a bad taste in their mouth about the head coach.
Very possibly. Yeah, very possibly. There's no doubt. The one, maybe throwaway, but I thought it was funny when he was talking about the length of the meeting, and he goes, I was kind of embarrassed because I told my pilots,
yeah,
go spend the day, get some dinner. He goes, and I look at my watch, I was done in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, guys, we got to go back.
Right. Well, no, he ended up staying. He went back to his house, but yeah.
I know he did, but ultimately, at first, he thought he was going to walk right back to the plane after he told him to go have a day.
Yeah. No, and he said he was really excited about it and thought it would be a good meeting. And he also said, you know, and I've been critical. I didn't want the Jets to bring Rodgers back because I think he's too old. He was going to get hurt again, and it just needed to end at that point. It needed to be a clean break. But the way they handled it, I think, was poor. But, you know, he is now, by the way, he talked a lot about the personal life stuff and what's going on and why he hasn't made a decision. Yep. And all of these things. But I just, at this point, it feels to me that he's going to walk away from the game.
Maybe.
And if this Jet thing had gone a little bit better than it did, he might have had more of an itch to play. But the fact that it was a nightmare and he is now out there dealing with personal stuff, it almost feels like the world is telling him, let's not go do this.
Perhaps,
again.
But then why go do the whole thing with DK Metcalf? You know, why?
Because
go?
Because he's given it, he's probably, you know, he's investigating all of it. You know, I don't think that he's made up his mind. I think that he's investigating all of it.
See, I think, yes, but I still think we're sitting here 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that he's any closer to a decision today than he was yesterday. I mean, just watching that, I mean, there were times I'm watching that and I saw a guy who had determination still on his face that wanted to come back and not have it end this way. And then at other times when listening to him and hearing him about, he keeps saying the inner circle, he referenced his sister a bunch of times throughout the course of the interview. There's a guy that has other interests and has other things that he has to deal with. And maybe it is time. So to me, I walked away from the 45-minute interview thinking that he still himself is not quite sure what he's going to do.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Driving in, I wasn't even thinking about Shador Sanders and Abdul Carter and all these conversations we had. But I was just thinking how these two teams, there is absolutely no way that they're not going to suck again next year. There's no way. There's nothing. All right, so free agency has happened.
Yeah.
The draft is going to happen. There isn't a scenario where these two teams next year are going to be any good. With talking about the draft now. Now, because even if they draft Shador Sanders at number three and he ends up eventually being a good player, he's not going to play this year.
No, not at least for half the season, for sure.
So it's just, we are...
Yes and no.
We're getting ready for a draft in a week just to set up ourselves up for another miserable season.
Yes, but there are miserable seasons, there are bad records, and there are bad records. And there are ways you can lose to where you look like a better, more competent football team. The Jets were boring to watch last year. Offensively, they couldn't do a goddamn thing, and the Giants couldn't score touchdowns. And it was a hard watch. Remember that? I mean, you sat there and you did the sidelines with me and Boomer and Phil for that Giants.
God.
The Giants couldn't move the football aside from one or two drives, and it was a bad product. Now, their schedule is going to be brutal, I believe, with the
yes.
opponents they have. So I agree with you. We might be sitting here with another 6-11 football team. I don't disagree with that, and I'm sure the Jets won't be very good either in terms of record. But you can at least start to look the part and start to look like you're making strides. And maybe instead of losing games, I don't know, 27-9 with three kicked field goals because you can't get in the damn end zone, maybe you're losing games because Russell Wilson is hitting Malik Nabers down the sideline for touchdowns here and there, and maybe they're losing games 34-28. And it's at least an entertaining product. So I agree with you. It ain't going to be a great season for either team. But I think it can be a stepping stone to what they need to be. And that would be step one, look like an NFL team.
Yeah, but the biggest thing when it comes to a stepping stone to like going forward is having someone you believe could be your starting quarterback for many years to come. Like all of these teams that get excited about finally turning the corner that have been bad for so long, it's when they get the good quarterback. And you're not going to have that with either one of these teams at this point, at least for not in 2025, the 2025 season, because Justin Fields, like, he stinks. He cannot throw the ball. And I understand he's young, and it's better to have like a younger guy that maybe can have a little bit of potential. And you think, like, oh, he'll wake up like Sam Darnold. But I mean, Sam Darnold could throw the ball. Justin Fields can't throw the ball. I mean, he got benched at 4-2.
He did.
Because of the way that he looked at the position. So that's going to get even worse offensively. They won't draft a quarterback this year, which I don't even know if they should or not.
I don't know that. Until we get to the end of next weekend, and forget Saturday and Sunday, really Thursday and Friday, at least for me. Yeah, sure, you can find a Brock Purdy from time to time, like once in a lifetime. But most of the good quarterbacks come in the first couple of rounds. I know there are some outliers for sure, but most of them are in the first two rounds. Let's see where we're sitting next Friday night, because, you know, so much conversation has gone into the Giants with the quarterback. I don't think enough conversation has gone into the Jets needing a quarterback. And I do think that there's scenarios where the Jets could end up with a guy that potentially could be the starter midseason.
Yeah, and, you know, this whole Aaron Glenn, Darren Mooji, this new type of philosophy that they have, and I don't even know if Woody Johnson is saying this after all the Aaron Rodgers hype that ended up blowing up in his face, but, you know, this is the way we like it. No one's talking about us. We're in the shadows and we're working. Like, that sounds great if you come out of that thing and you end up winning, and then you could look back and say, hey, remember when it wasn't about hype? We were just, you know, compiling great players, and now look, we're a playoff team. But if you don't, it's even worse, because at some point when Aaron Rodgers was coming here, you know, most of the fan base was excited.
Mm-hmm.
And you had season ticket sales, jersey sales. They were happy for at least a few moments. And that type of excitement around an organization, you know, helps the business of the organization. Now, of course, it didn't work out, and that sucks, and it makes the fans feel even worse. But just for a little bit of time, there was some energy and some juice around the team. Now you've got these guys. You don't even know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
No one's talking about them. None of them have ever had these jobs before in their life. And so you better come out, and this team better look like a bunch of ass whoopers, even if you're losing games, because all this crap you're talking about, the type of team that you're going to be, because no one's excited about it. You've got two guys here. You know, there's different levels of fans that we have here at WFAN. There's certain guys that are just as nutso as they were when they were 13 years old. You know, a guy like Evan Roberts, a guy like Mike Fliegelman, a guy like Pete Hoffman. Those are guys I'm going to throw in there. Both Pete Hoffman and Mike Fliegelman, independently of one another, have decided they're not rooting for the Jets this
year.
I've
heard, yes.
And I believe them.
I do too.
Like, these guys aren't like goofy radio bit guys. They're just sports guys who want to work here.
Yep.
Neither one of them want to root for their team anymore.
Let me ask you this. We're sitting here next Friday night, next Thursday night. Let's say Shador Sanders falls to 7, the Jets take him. Is there now not an excitement around that team?
Yeah, there is, but they're not going to take him. I am fully convinced that they're not going to take Shador Sanders.
This is what I don't understand. Why?
Here's why. Because, one, they're just, no matter who walks in that building, they're all idiots. All right? And number two, what I just said, where we're doing everything in the shadows. We're over here. We're concocting our plan behind closed doors. Now they're going to bring in the most controversial, for whatever goddamn reason, Shador Sanders, who I don't even think is that controversial. They're going to bring in that guy? No, Woody Johnson's probably thinking, I just went through a circus with Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to start another one with Shador Sanders, even though that's a stupid way of looking at
it. It's a stupid way to look at it.
But that's the way they're going to look at it.
Because it's not, I understand the whole business of doing things stealthily, which is a big word we've heard this offseason, and they've been quiet, and they're going about their business. Drafting an exciting player in the first round of the draft is not opposite of that philosophy. It's drafting an exciting player in the first round of the draft.
I mean, they're going to draft an offensive lineman whose name we won't be able to pronounce for the first couple of weeks. That's what it's going to be. Like, that's that guy, Membo, right? Membo?
Membo, I believe.
Membo,
right?
Membo.
I believe so. And I understand if you're building a football team, building inside out is not a bad strategy. What I'm saying is off your conversation about Justin Fields and the Jets not really having a quarterback right now. Now, the Giants do, from the standpoint of if you need a quarterback this season, they do have an upgrade from last year. I mean, whether you like Russell Wilson or not, he's better than Daniel Jones. He's better than anything else they really had, and he plays the games. He doesn't get hurt all that much. He'll be out there every week if you need him, and I do think they'll score points. That's going to be great. The other thing about the Jets, too, gee, you talk about, you know, at least with the Giants, they have to deal with the Eagles and the Commanders four times. And yeah. I know they've owned Washington in the past, but not last year, not with Jaden Daniels. So those are four games. The Cowboys always give them trouble. So inside their own division is going to be difficult, let alone their out-of-conference or out-of-division schedule. The Jets are dealing with, in the AFC East, if they can find any competency from the quarterback position and play relatively well, you're dealing with the Dolphins, who right now are a mess with the whole Tyreek Hill stuff. They're looking to trade Jalen Ramsey, and Tua can't stay healthy. Who knows what they are? And Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat. You've got the Patriots, who, I don't know, are they going to be anything this year? I don't think so, but
no,
who knows?
Probably another year away.
So if you're a Jet fan, if you got, and I agree with you, they'll probably take an offensive lineman, but if you ended up with someone that you believe can be the quarterback of the future for this team in a division that is not like the NFC East, I think there's hope for the Jets. Quietly or not, I think there's hope for the Jets.
I hope that they could potentially make the playoffs.
How about just be a good football team, and we'll see where that lends us in December. Does that mean the playoffs? I don't know. Sometimes you can go 10-7 and not make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Robert Saleh got crushed or didn't get crushed for enough was early on in his career, and this would rear its ugly head later in his career too, he looked completely overmatched by other coaches.
Agreed.
In the first half of games. Like, it's like the other coach knew exactly how to exploit the Jets, and he had no idea how to combat that, and the team just wasn't prepared. And a lot of that is because he was a first-time head coach. So, like, I'm expecting a lot of that from Aaron Glenn as well.
God, I hope not.
I mean, that's what I'm expecting, because it takes some time. So, and then Jets got some players. They got some players. Okay, they got some players from a general manager that the owner started taking away responsibility from and then fired. And also, these guys haven't been the same since their rookie year. Like Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. Are those guys really that good? Is the Jets defense stocked with talent? We sat here all last year and talked about how overrated they were.
Yeah, because there were certainly some games, even though the offense wasn't doing enough, they weren't doing a lot. They were doing enough to put them in position to win games, and the defense didn't get stops.
I mean, it's just insane. Like, and, you know, if you talk to anybody in any other football market and you ask their opinion of the Jets and Giants making the playoffs, they'll laugh in your face. But we sit here because we, you know, dissect every single position in and out, try to find a way to make them look relevant or maybe they could win, but it's just they're neither one of them are going to be any good.
See, I don't have that. I don't have that expectation. My expectation of this, of both of these teams, is to look like NFL teams this year. That's my expectation. And hopefully this is part one of a, I don't know if rebuild is the right way, but they're way back to relevancy in the league. Because I'm with you. I don't want to sit here in September and have the Jets and the Giants be a combined 1-7 and struggle to score and be boring doing it as well.
I mean, just think about if they don't draft a quarterback, the Giants, and, you know, they could be somewhere later. Like I said, I really like the idea of sitting Jalen Milroe and really working with him and then seeing what he has maybe, you know, a year later. But that would be exciting, the way he plays football. But if they don't draft a quarterback, and it's Russell Wilson, who's old and deteriorated through the course of the season last year, Jameis Winston, who is basically a walking meme at this point, and Tommy DeVito, who is, you know, a fan favorite, but he's still Tommy DeVito, and him actually winning games cost them Jaden Daniels, which is crazy. But anyway, those are the three guys you have, and you're 1-7. I mean, just think about that.
I don't see
with
any
zero future.
I don't see any scenario they don't draft a quarterback.
My God.
In the first two rounds. Because I don't want to hear about, I love when people are like, they're going to find their quarterback. It might come in the third or fourth round. Yeah, you know how many quarterbacks get drafted in third and fourth round that don't have an NFL career because they're not NFL good?
Yeah, I don't like that. So that's exactly. And I've said this, we talked about this last week when Boomer was out. I don't like the idea of, if you don't think that the top two guys are your franchise quarterback, the quarterback of the future, but then you draft one at 31 and right. Trade back. What's the same goddamn thing? You want that guy to be, those guys aren't good enough to be your future to draft him at three, but this guy is?
Right.
Because you draft him in the first round, top of the second round, you expect him to start at some point.
You would certainly think so.
But that's why the only guy that I would get excited about, just because from a talent standpoint, it's undeniable, is Milrow. That's it. And I'm not saying that he's gonna work out. He could be very much like Anthony Richardson, but Anthony Richardson was thrown into the fire immediately. And that cannot happen with Milrow, no matter wherever he goes.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
And of course, the discussion continues about Juan Soto. You know, I heard BT and Sal when I was driving home about it, and then saw the clip that everybody was talking about where Sal was getting on him. But, you know, it's I understand this business and how it works, and like a piece of something is the thing that's going to get the most attention. But, you know, Sal did preface a lot of things he was saying about Juan Soto is I still love the fact that he's here. I still think that he's going to have a good year. But what he has done up until this point has not been him.
Very underwhelming.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just, why can't that be the discussion as opposed to everybody thinking that if you have any sort of criticism about Juan Soto early, that you're not allowed to have that or you're some sort of hater? Like, those two things can be true. That He hasn't lived up to expectations through this amount of games, but there's a long way to go, and we're still happy that he's here, and we still think he's going to be very good.
And if we haven't learned from the Francisco Lindor experience, we never will. I mean, yeah. We almost ran him out of town after his first full season, let alone his first few weeks. I think the biggest thing with him is the fact that he's, and I have to go back and look, but I don't know that he's ever had a slow start. I don't know that he has or he hasn't, but I don't remember. He certainly didn't last year with the Yankees. He came flying out the gate and looked like an all-world player.
Yeah.
It's just been, here's what I would say, watching him almost, I've watched a lot of the Met games, not every one, but a lot of them. And even last night, Keith in the one at bat where he struck out, maybe the third inning strikeout, I forget, last night. But, you know, he's swinging at, the guys are making the case what a great eye he has. And we talked about that ad nauseum last year, too, with the Yankees. The guy sees the plate and the ball better than anybody, blah, 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 blah. Yet he's striking out now this season. And what Keith sees as a former great hitter that he was is that he's still really good with the stuff that's down and away or just down, but he's struggling with the stuff that's up in the zone around the letters, which is something he hasn't done in the past. And I think when you hear about somebody or something constantly and they're not doing what they are noted for doing, and then the body language doesn't look great because he's disappointed with himself, like I get people getting on him. And you throw into the fact that he got an absurd amount of money. It's almost like when you get paid, when you get to a certain level of salary in pro sports, you're not allowed to fail. You're just not. And if you do, you're going to hear it. Like, to me, it's as simple as that. There is nothing. Now, that doesn't mean he needs to be booed by 40,000 people yet. We're not there. But I understand people's concern or, you know, I would say disappointment with the way he has performed so far.
Yeah, and which is okay. Like, you know, the people that'll scream and yell, you're nuts, it's so early, and You're a crazy person. Like I someone yesterday, I was talking about the amount of strikeouts, and then they hit me back. He's got the one less strikeout this year than he did last year. It's like, oh, okay, but he still is not the same player everywhere else.
He has not been.
Like
he hasn't been.
You're gonna tell me that he's hitting more numbers, his OPS was up, and his average was up, but he had that amount of strikeouts. It's more acceptable than having that amount of strikeouts and then the rest of his numbers be complete crap so far for his standard.
Right.
You know? So I mean it's okay to be disappointed in a guy through 17, 18, 19 games, whatever it is now, I guess 19 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy. It's fine to be disappointed a guy through 19 games, but also expect him to be very good the rest of the year.
It's also, and perhaps part of his presence is why Pete Alonso has gotten out to a big start. I don't know if that's the case or not, but Pete Alonso, he was 0-for-4 last night, but through the first 18 games, was batting 360, 365, whatever it was, has hit big home runs, has had key hits, and, you know, while Juan Soto has not gotten going yet, Francisco Lindor has started to show a pulse. Alonso's been steady, and they're pitching, and they're still winning games. Like, that's the other part of it, that you are absorbing a, I don't want to call it terrible, but less than average start from Soto. It hasn't been good by any stretch, and yet they're still, what is it, 12-7 now?
12-6, yeah.
So they've gotten out to a, think about last year where this team was at this point in April compared to where they are now. And then you looked at the way they kind of kicked it into gear. I think that they have not gotten a lot out of a lot of guys. Brett Beatty, who did have an RBI single last night, has done next to nothing. Mark Vientos, who homered last night, has done next to nothing. Jose Siri's now out with injury. You're dealing with Tyrone Taylor in the outfield. There's a lot of things to not like, and yet they're still finding ways to win without their star acquisition or signing hitting like a star.
Yeah, you could say that the day game on Wednesday, you know, you could say that that was a really bad game for him, and he cost them the game. A couple of instances he really could have come through.
Yep,
and that was a bad one. But I mean, outside of that, you know, the team is 12-7. They're in first place. They got the fourth or fifth best run differential in the league right now. And I mean, if Juan Soto has a B-minus year, and Pete Alonso bounces back and has a great year, and this team gets back to the NLCS, like, I'm not going to sit there and be pissed off that Juan Soto didn't have as good of a year. I only care about the team winning. That's really all I care about. And he's going to have to be better for them to end up beating the Dodgers eventually.
No question.
But, I mean, if they were 7-12 and he was doing this, I think that's a, wow, this is a really bad start to this whole thing, and it's got to turn around quickly before it spirals. I mean, they still have one of the best records in baseball.
Right, right.
No, first place in their division.
And before losing those two games at Minnesota, you looked at them and they were, 11-5, and they were, I don't want to say humming along, but they, at that time, through the first 3 weeks of the season, were the only team not to lose back-to-back games. So they've done a lot of good. The one question that I would have with them, and which is not Soto-related, because I do think he will get on track at some point soon, is how long are you going to get good starts by these pitchers? I mean, is there really a lot of truth to this whole, I hate using the word, but this pitching lab? I expect Kodai Senga to pitch like an ace. I do. By Griffin Canning giving you what he gave you last night, the way that they have pitched throughout the start of this season, really, can Tyler McGill really be this good? That would be the one thing that would concern me is can they keep the pitching up? Because they have pitched as well as anybody in baseball so far.
Yeah, I mean, can Griffin Canning do it? I don't know. But, I mean, we were saying, can Sean Manaea keep this up for the entire year and him coming back? And I do believe in Senga. I do believe in David Peterson. So I do think that the starting pitching will be fine. And I also really, really like the bullpen, too.
So far, so good.
I mean, just with what happened last year, yeah, I've got a lot of confidence in the pitching being good enough.
Well, I will tell you, if the pitching is going to remain, I'll say, maybe not at this level, but let's say consistent and steady and gives them a chance to win most nights, then they're going to win a lot of games. They just are.
Yeah, I mean, and anybody that thinks that, Juan Soto is some sort of dud or something, just like wait until there will be a moment in the postseason where he's there and has an incredible at-bat like he had in the postseason with the Yankees where he's taking a bunch of pitches, he's fouling off, he's grabbing himself, he's staring at the pitcher, he's going to hit a double in the gap or a home run to win a game, and you're going to love the guy for the rest of your life.
I'll tell you, the one guy I am worried about is Brandon Nimmo. Nimmo looks like
he looks older.
He looks like he aged quick, and I know he's dealing with the foot injury, and I think it's the same injury that knocked Boomer out of his career for the most part.
Yeah, the plantar fasciitis stuff.
He just doesn't look like the same player.
You know what's alarming about it is last year he was dealing with it, and then you have an entire offseason, you're thinking, okay, he's going to be fine. Mm. He does get off looking pretty good first couple of games, and now he's hampered by it again. So, yeah, I mean, I could absolutely see and co-sign with that concern. And it's, when something like that, man, you lose a wheel. You're going to look old.
And think about what his game has been. He's like a slashing type of hitter with a little bit of pop, but, the sprinting to first base, get around the bases. If you can't do that, what is he exactly? He's already moved to left field, which is fine, and he's been okay out there. I'm not saying he hasn't been, but he just, man, at the plate, you almost feel like you have no confidence that he is going to be the player, the offensive player that he has been. Even last year wasn't a great year. The numbers might not say that. Same with like Alonso. It wasn't great last year either when he was dealing with stuff throughout the entire course of the year. He had that one run where we all thought he was and should have been an all-star because he carried the team. Was that maybe in May or June? I forget, but he was fabulous. Since that point, not a lot.
And you saw the news, Jeff McNeil's going to get some time out in center field, apparently, as they want to go with Luis Angel Acuna and Beatty and Vientos and all that stuff on the infield. The Jeff McNeil obsession,
I know,
is bizarre to me. I just don't understand. I know Tyrone Taylor, his offense is what it is. You're not going to get great stretches out of him, but he's a great defensive center fielder.
You can lose games defensively.
Well, yeah, and you lost Jose Siri, who was another great defender out there. I don't see the need. If this offense is realizing its potential, what is Jeff McNeil in the lineup really going to do to help you out?
Well, I guess the only thought there is get back to the batting champion type of hitter he once was.
Yeah.
He hasn't been since, and he's been, like, bad offensively. I don't know. Why he was back on this team, we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, it's puzzling because you feel like the team is really starting to turn over. When you look at Beatty and Vientos and Acuna, and now you've got Soto in different face with Lindor and Alonso, it feels like that's the crux of the team. And McNeil, even when he came back in the playoffs last year, it's like why?
Yeah,
you weren't
a
part of this.
I know. I mean, so the two things that Carlos Mendoza sort of bothered me with at the time was, them forcing Senga in. I thought that
I didn't like that either.
That was a bad idea.
Yep.
And then also, I mean, at that point, Jose Iglesias seemed like the magic had run out. That's what it felt like at the plate.
Playoffs, yeah.
He seemed overmatched, and and they went with something else because the Dodgers were bludgeoning them and were thinking if we could get something out of Jeff McNeil. But at the same time, I would have still given Iglesias the opportunity to do it because he was, he hit almost 340 last year, for God's sakes. So I didn't like that either. Rushing him back, it just didn't, none of it made any sense.
Getting closer and closer to the draft, and I only bring it up because we've talked it out, but I'll bring it up if there's something new that is out there, and I believe that we have a smokescreen spot here. This is what I believe is a smokescreen spot, and that is the New York Giants bringing in Shedeur Sanders for a private workout again. Now, they had a private workout with him in Colorado. Now, they're going to bring him here for a private workout again. So,
is it here, or are they doing it in Colorado?
Okay, so they're going back out to Colorado for another private workout. Yes. Okay. So it's not as bad wasting his time. It's more wasting the Giants' time, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. So there could be a couple of reasons why this is happening.
Okay.
All right. So my first thought is, okay, camouflage spot. You like to use that word. You like to...
Smokescreen spot,
whatever. And if that is the case, then I hate the Giants are doing this to this young man. If they're not going to take him, don't be playing games with the guy.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I think that sucks in this process, because these guys... they still are human beings, regardless of what position they play, regardless of what their last name is, and regardless of how much nil money they made. The dream is to become an NFL player, and you don't want to be sitting there on NFL draft day being disappointed. And I hope that this is not a smokescreen. But the other reason why they may be doing this is maybe they have a trade offer for the number three spot, that if a certain player is there at number three, maybe they have a trade offer on their on the table right now that would be too good to turn up or turn down, I should say.
Yeah.
And maybe they're thinking that they may trade down to seven, they may trade down to eight, and they may get something so good back that the best player at that position for them would be Shedeur Sanders.
All right, I'll give you another one, that he is dropping so much, maybe into the 20s, and the Steelers are at 21, and then maybe they pass at him, and the Giants are like, well, hell, if we can get Abdul Carter and Shedeur Sanders, maybe we could trade up back into the first round, get both of them in the first round, as opposed to maybe some of the other stuff we heard about, Abdul Carter and then Jackson Dart, or Abdul Carter and Jalen Milroe, which is the one that I'm looking for now. Maybe it's that, where they're seeing him drop and hearing him drop, and they're like, hell, I mean, we like him. We just don't like him enough at number three. We can get him. We could trade back in to 23 or something. Then, hell, we'll take him there.
Yeah, I mean, that's another possibility as well. So I think we discussed three different things here that the Giants could be going through, and they just want to make sure that they leave no stone unturned in regards to evaluating this quarterback. So, he's not going to – they're not taking him at number three.
I don't think so either. I really don't at this point. I mean, all of this is nonsense, silly season, smokescreen spot. We all know that. But I just, Abdul Carter, I don't think he has posted a picture of anything other than Lawrence Taylor and saying once a Giant, always a Giant. Like, I don't think he's doing that with all these other teams. It feels to me that that's where he wants to go, and feels like that's where he's going to go at number three. So, I mean, if they end up passing on Carter when he's there, that would be a shame at this point if they absolutely love him that much and convince him that he's going there. So I think this maybe has more to do with Shedeur dropping severely and them coming back in, or they're just seeing if someone's going to go crazy for Shedeur and give up a haul that allows them to trade down and still get a player that they really like, as you mentioned.
Or somebody wants to give up a haul for Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
I'm sure Joe Shane has been on the phones. This is part of this is what these GMs live for. This is really what it comes down to. The free agency stuff is a little bit easier because you know what the player can do. You've seen him on an NFL football field, and you know how much money he's worth. This is really where these GMs make their money. As I said, we've often talked about Howie Roseman.
Yeah. One of the best.
Yeah, you got to figure out whether or not these kids fit the culture that you're trying to create, and somebody that's going to be a difference maker, especially for the Giants, immediately. That's why a quarterback, you know, at number three doesn't make any sense for them.
Yeah, I'm getting some like Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts vibes from Jalen Milroe at this point, where we look back and say, wow, I mean, that was the best quarterback in the class, or wow, look at all these teams that passed on that guy as Lamar Jackson was taken 32 overall and Jalen Hurts was taken in the second round. Now, I know Milroe's got a lot of flaws, and Boomer and I both sat here. It was one Monday after we saw him in a big game, and both said the same thing. I'm not going to deny that. Looked like he needed another year in college. Did not look like he was ready to come out. But he is coming out. And when you see him at his best, it's more mesmerizing than any other quarterback prospect in the draft. It's just that he doesn't do it consistently enough, and there's a lot of mistakes, and he regressed from 2 years ago to last year. But if you're going to tell me that he's sitting for the entire year and his ass doesn't see the field once, then I like it even better. To me, now I have shifted because I don't believe the two things I would be thrilled if the Giants did would be draft Abdul Carter at three if they really love him, and then trade back in to get Shador if he drops, or trade back in and get Jalen Milroe, or take him in the second round. That is now, I am now subscribing to that theory, and I think that it would be a home run for those guys, and we'll see how it works out.
All I know is that when you look at Jalen Milroe from a physical standpoint, you know, he's about 6 foot two, and he is almost 220 pounds. I mean, so he has got the exact, he's right in the sweet spot for body style for an NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the lower body. He's got the quicks. He runs the ball exceptionally well. He had 20 touchdowns on the ground this year. And, you know, he only had 16 touchdown passes. But over the last 2 years, I think he's ran the ball, you know, over 300 times. And he's passed the ball probably close to 600 times, if not more. So he is your quintessential dual threat quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's Lamar Jackson with not having that Heisman-like senior year. I mean, that's what he's like. And he's thicker than Lamar, too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is the kind of guy, you know, well, just the physical attributes, okay?
Yeah.
Look at him. Phil Simms going, that guy, he's thick.
Yeah.
He's QB thick.
QB thick.
And he loves QB thickness.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, Anthony Richardson was another one of these guys that was just...
I mean, look at this kid.
Yeah, I know. This is why I'm in on him now. Now, I mean, I get a little bit scared of the Richardson stuff, but Richardson didn't... I mean, I think Jalen Milroe looked a hell of a lot better in games in college than Anthony Richardson did. And Richardson came into the combine, and we called it at the time, so this guy's going to be a combine hero. He shoots up the draft board, and I can understand why people fell in love with his abilities.
And then he taps himself out on a football field because he just has no idea.
Plus, they started him early, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's because the owner.
Yeah, so
the owner's a lunatic, and, you know, you got to tell the owner, look, let us handle the football stuff. You just be the billionaire owner. We'll take care of this. But, you know, that is such a screwed-up situation out there because of the owner's always got his hands in things.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite frankly, that kid should have never played from the beginning. He should have sat for a year, just like the Kansas City model, and just let him learn. I mean, he tapped himself out of a game.
Mm.
I have never seen a quarterback do that. It's something that quarterbacks don't do.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks basically fight through injury. Quarterbacks stay on the field. Quarterbacks got to be the leader. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care how beat up you are. If you can't get up and you cannot play, that's one thing. But you don't tap out because you're out of breath. You're not a wide receiver. You're not a running back who just took a nasty hit. You're tapping yourself out because, you know, you know that you're not all there right now. You just don't do that.
Yeah, well, that's why I want, if you're going to draft Jalen Milroe, you got these other guys that are on the roster that are capable of starting the games. Even if there's an injury, you got a couple of backup options. He would not start in that first year.
Would you have a package for him?
No, I told you this. I wouldn't want to have a package for him because then you're taking away a roster spot from someone that plays special teams. And then also, you'd have to have him as the backup quarterback. And I don't want that because I don't want him to play if the guy goes down. So, no, I would not have a package for him.
Well, you would think that Brian Daboll would have a pipeline down to Alabama, even though Nick Saban's not there.
Yeah.
You know, he spent a lot of time there. He knows the school. He knows the players that go to school there. He knows exactly what type of player Jalen Milroe is. I don't know if he fits everything that he would want, but you know, he wanted Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, now Jaden Daniels, different player. I mean, he's not as thick. He does run, but he runs in a more careful way. I think that Jaden Daniels is just he's more heady on the football field. I think he's someone who reads defenses exceptionally well for the how young he was. I mean, he was just finding guys wide open. He just knew the offense from the jump in week one. So I think Jaden Daniels is way far ahead of Milroe. But it's just, I'm getting this feeling now when we look back at this draft and be like, oh, all we heard about was Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Look, Jalen Milroe is the best out of the group. Look at what he's doing. He's Lamar Jackson 2.0. You know,
it all depends on where he goes, man. Yeah. I mean, like if somebody tells you that he's Lamar Jackson 2.0, Lamar took over for Joe Flacco in the middle of the season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was his first season. Yeah. And then you went from boring to exciting.
Yes.
Just like that. Changed that whole franchise around.
It did.
I mean, which is something that the Giants need.
They desperately need, yes.
So, yeah, but it wouldn't happen this year. And I don't want it to happen this year. I'm clear about that. And this is why I don't even dress the kid, because I don't even want the fans to be screaming about it if they're having a tough year. It is a non-negotiable. The guy does not play. Talking last week when Boomer was in Vegas about our favorite broadcasters of all time, our favorite play-by-play guys, and you had Sam Rosen right up there at the top. And, you know, you always wonder about these guys and what they're going to do and how much they're going to miss it. And, you know, are they, you know, like someone like John Sterling sounded to me like he was so done with it. And I understand he came back for the playoffs. And I was glad that he did, because it was just so abrupt in the beginning of the season. And, you know, they go to the World Series, having John call those games was just a better ending for him. But he sounded like he was done, and that was it. And he was going to enjoy his life, and he was going to watch the games, and that was the end of it. You know, Sam Rosen sounds to me the same now as he did 15 years ago.
Yeah, he does, and still looks great, and still seems like physically he seems okay. Now, we don't know, obviously, any intimate details of his health, but he looks good. And the thing about hockey that, which is why I've said all season, don't stop now, but, you know, congratulations to him. Like, you get your summers. Like, you get June, unless you make a deep run into the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, you get June, July, and August. It's like being a teacher in a way. Like, it's kind of the best of both worlds. He will be missed. Kenny Albert will be great. We know that, but he will be missed. And real quick, yes, he was my number one for sure because of many reasons, but I got a lot of Devil fans were angry with me. But as I said that day, that had more to do with my childhood, and he was like the soundtrack of, you know, me from 10 to like, it just, that's the voice I remember in my house every night when my dad would watch the Rangers, and he's as good today as he was then, and congratulations on a great career.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and, you know, you see Lee Corso retiring from College Game Day, which is something that we expected over the last couple of years, as, you know, he's had some health issues, and of course, John Sterling last year, Sam Rosen. I mean, it's
UB Brown.
Yeah. I mean, you just think about it. I mean, I don't know how much, like, Howie sounds as good as ever, too, but I understand he's had his health issues. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he said in the next couple of years, you know, I want to just live my life now. And
well, he's cut back. I mean, he doesn't do the West Coast trips, I don't believe. I know Rad and McCarthy did the last trip that they were on, so Howie has dialed it back a little bit. I think instead of doing, you know, 162 games, he might do maybe, I don't know what the number would be, 110, 120 maybe, something like that, which is still a nice workload for sure. But, who knows? You're right. You never know.
I mean, something like Gary Cohen's way older than I ever thought, because he looks so good, too.
He's
heard like 60-something.
64, I think I heard
he's
him
older
say
than
the
Boomer.
Other day.
Doesn't look older than Boomer to me. You think he looks older than Boomer?
Not the same, I would say.
Nah. Gary Cohen looks younger.
I think Boomer looks young. I mean, I look to
I'm not
your
saying
left.
Boomer doesn't look young. I'm saying Gary Cohen is like, he looks more like Al Dukes to me, like Al Dukes' age.
The thinness will always help you with age.
It does. That is very true. I every day I walk past that Sports Illustrated cover with Boomer with Gunnar on his shoulders, and then you look at today Boomer, it's not that different.
No, I'm not saying Boomer looks old. I'm saying that Gary Cohen looks younger than Boomer does.
I know. Fair. I'm trying to say I think Boomer also looks younger than he is. But all right, fair enough. You think there's a 5-6 year gap? Okay.
You guys think Boomer looks younger than he is?
How old is he? 64?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's right on the nuts, I think.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't think he looks younger or older.
I don't think he looks like a guy
that could
in
also
his 60s.
Be because we know him and see him every day. And
yeah, if I had to guess like an age on somebody, maybe I would
I wouldn't say 60. I wouldn't.
Maybe I'd go a little younger.
Yeah.
Will he be sitting here when he's 70 years old?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to say no.
No chance.
You think he'll be here at 70?
One more contract.
See, I don't.
Two more.
Oh. No, whatever. I think we're probably one more, I would think, because the way that, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. No, yeah.
That would be like the end.
Yeah.
Well, that sounded sad, but yes. That's what, yeah. I think that's what he takes it to.
I don't think he's making it to 70. I think there's multiple years left, but I think that six is a little too much for him. That's what I would say.
All right, so I'll ask the question then. What else is he doing? Only so much golf you can play.
Yeah, that's what you think. I mean, did you see how much he played on the weekends when he didn't have NFL Today?
Yes, I did. Trust me, I'm well aware. But there's also, I guess, you know what? I guess you would live in Arizona in the winter. Okay, I suppose.
Right. And he
all right.
But he also has young grandkids. He's not going to want to leave in New York. So there is
this?
That.
How about we go the Stern route? And in his 70s, he only works Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Wherever that home might be, winters in Arizona.
That's going to be like, all kidding aside, that will be a discussion. Like,
it should be a discussion. He's earned it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But he's big on like everybody being in back at work.
He's big on a lot of things until
it's him.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, kind of. I mean, yeah.
He loves when we talk about him when he's not here. That's one of his favorite things we do that.
I'm sorry. Have you not talked about me when I'm not here on the road?
Of course. I'm not saying that I've got a problem with it. He always has a problem.
But to be fair, if he was sitting there, we'd have this exact
thing. Yeah, and we have. We have had this discussion.
And he would remind us, guys, I'm right here.
Yes, yeah, I'm right here. You guys are narps the way you look at things.
I got to tell you, that's not a bad thought, though. 3 days a week, gives him his weekends, does his 3 days remotely.
Where is he remotely?
Arizona.
Ah.
You don't think so?
No. I think he would be around here. If he's doing this show, he'd be around here, and he also want to be around his grandkids. I could see him like being out east on Long Island.
He's not going to be 3 a.m. in Arizona every day.
Yeah,
3 days
right.
a week. Not happening.
Right.
Oh, I think he would.
Nah.
Why not? Or it'd be 4 in the winter. It wouldn't be 3. It'd be 4 a.m. And he'd be done at, what, 8 o'clock? Go play golf. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad deal at all.
He's not going to be that far away or want to be that far away. There's two more grandkids coming. You know, think about that. So he's going to have. There's going to have 6 grandkids.
You think because, and that's a great reason to do it, and I understand that. But you don't think he would spend harsh winters away from here because of the grandkids?
Well, I mean, for weeks at a time, maybe, but like not.
I mean, 3 months. That's all I meant.
No, he would do a full 3 months, I don't think.
You don't think January, February, March, live out west?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
Sounds lovely to me.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound lovely. But if he were out east every day doing it remotely, I'd drive out there as opposed to driving.
I'm sure you would.
And
that's not a bad idea either.
And it wouldn't be that much of a difference in time, but it just would be everything else would be different.
Of course.
Such a beautiful, quiet drive.
Yeah, I know.
God. Like if we're going to hit something, it's going to be a possum, not a homeless person.
that is true, too.
You know?
That is true. And then when you're done, you're done. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. You can do what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I'm hesitant to tell the story, but there was someone who quite possibly could have died in the street yesterday.
Oh.
And it was just laying there.
Really?
And the cop went up. It was motionless. And I was like, okay. I don't know if it was, it didn't get hit. But it was like...
Maybe had an episode?
Yeah. It didn't look good. But I was just... It was jarring. And then, of course, the entire time driving home thinking, did I just see a dead person on Kenmare or did I not?
Yeah, last night was emotional for Matt and certainly for Sydney and, you know, all of Matt's buddies. And, you know, Josh Bailey was there. Gal Clutterbuck was there. Wally Zerbear got a free ticket out of me, so he was there. You know, it was just a great tribute to a great person. I'm so proud of him as his father-in-law, and I know that his parents were watching from Detroit, or Windsor, I should say. He's just such a class guy. 16 years, man. That's a monster career. Almost 1,000 games, I think 986 games maybe. Almost 1,000 games. We'll play one more. And it was just amazing watching the Capitals line up and shake his hand like they just had won a playoff series against them.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, we talk and, you know, make fun of the hockey when you talk too much about it. But there's one thing about that sport, I think, that stands above others is the respect amongst opponents.
It's the culture.
And you saw it with Ovechkin with the Islanders, and then they gave it back in a different way with Matt Martin and his long career last night. He was made the number one star. He got all the adulation. This is a guy, this is not someone who's breaking Gretzky's record. This is a guy who is just grinding throughout his entire career, physical, fighting, having the stars' backs, doing whatever it was for the team. And, you know, it's just getting to know him over the last number of years. It's just incredible with the career that he's had and the bruiser that he's been in the NHL. He's as gentle and nice a person as you'll ever meet. So I saw before the game, it was, and maybe Jerry will play it a little bit later, but, you know, one of the reporters asked him, he goes, do you think you're going to have a little bit more extra emotion? I know you're not totally an emotional guy. You think you're going to have some more extra emotion? And he says right away, he's like, yeah, I think I will. And that'll make Sydney happy because she's been telling me I'm not emotional enough. And then he starts talking. And as he's talking, he breaks down and he starts talking about the organization. And it's just, I mean, there's got to be, as sad as it is, it's a happy sadness that his career with the Islanders is most likely coming to an end.
So you say most likely, I believe it is coming to an end, although he hasn't officially announced anything. It's kind of like Cal Clutterbuck just floating around out there.
Well, the reason
are you done or you're not done? Same thing with Josh Bailey. What are you guys doing? Are you done or you're not done?
Well, the reason
I come play for the Wasps.
I know. And listen, I understand.
Always got a uniform for those guys.
I understand that it's over. It's just that he didn't say that yesterday. So I don't want to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm, you know, declaring his career over. It's just that he was like, I don't know what the future holds. But we all know where this is going. And I'm sure that, you know, I saw some of the pictures from last night, you know, him with Sydney and the girls. And he's, you know, he was probably crying because he's going to have to be home with those twins. That's why I think he was crying. Wow. Like he'll go play anywhere. I think he'll
play for the
Saskatoon Sox if he can get out of the house. You know what I'm saying?
I told him that he and Sydney are going to be on the penalty kill for the next five or 6 years. They're going to be short two men. They're going to have to play zone defense against four maniacs. But you know, that's the best part of life, I guess. You know, and that's,
of course, yeah.
You know, so he's 35 years old. He's going to be 36 in May. He, like I said, he played, I think, 985 or 986 games. And the way he played is what people respect. I mean, he wasn't a goal scorer. Everybody knows that. He was just a in-your-face. And when they had him, Cal, and Casey at their top, they were the identity of the Islanders. And they always played against the other team's top line. And, you know, it was a pain in the ass. He used to tell me all the time. You know, and I knew a lot of things that were going on with him, whether he was injured or not. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, over the last 8 or 9 years that I've known him, I would probably tell you that there have been six injuries that he has played through and I've seen what these bruises look like.
Oh yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's why you're emotional, because you know, he's probably playing hockey since he was 4 years old, doesn't know anything other than hockey this time of year. Played in, I think, 82 or 83 playoff games for the Islanders. And really the pinnacle for me, anyway, as being his father-in-law, was at Gunnar's wedding. And he couldn't make Gunnar's wedding because they were playing Tampa in the Eastern Conference Final.
That's right, yeah.
And they had a home game at the barn.
Yeah.
And there we are with with this cutout at the wedding. But what was really funny about this whole thing is that he had the game-winning goal that night.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, even though those of us that were wearing the Ranger jerseys at the wedding were, like, incredibly, like, happy for him and really, like, gave a loud cheer for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that is.
He almost had a goal last night. I bet $100 that he was going to be a goal scorer.
Oh, really?
And he was like, a plus, like, you know, $2,400 or something.
I thought they might give him one. You know, one of those things.
Give him one.
I thought that the Capitals were like, you know, let's just let one slide right by.
He almost had one. Almost had one on a tip. But yeah, it's been 16 years of hard grinding hockey, and he's everything that's right about hockey, the culture of hockey. By the way, you know, so I'm sitting in this suite that we have, and mm-hmm. we got like 16 people in there. And who comes walking in? Neil Smith, the former GM of the Rangers.
Of course, yeah.
And he brings in Mike Richter.
Oh, no. That's not the time for...
What do you mean?
It's not the time for Richter.
Well, I mean, so now I got to get back in my seat. You know, it's Richter.
I know.
It's my guy right there.
Yeah, but I mean...
I wanted to pick him up and hug him.
Yeah, I understand. In all respect to Mike Richter, it's not, you know, it's Matt Martin's last game. We can't be having this Ranger stuff going on.
Well, I got Neil Smith there, and we're reliving, you know, all the different trades. Yeah, and I'm saying, why did you trade Amonte and Doug Waite? He goes, well, we had to win the cup that year. You know, so I got into all of that stuff, too.
Of course you did. You're there and then, one time to support an Islander, and then, of course, you're talking about the trades in the past and talking to Richter. I mean, for God's sake.
It was great. It's just great
to see. Can you drop the Rangers for one day?
He looks great.
Richter?
Yeah, oh, of course. He looks great, yeah, man.
I mean, and Messier,
I didn't realize how short he was. I forget how short he was, you know, because he's not, he's probably 5'10", I think.
Well, I mean, a lot of those hockey guys are shorter than you think that they are.
Yeah, but
are.
All these goalies nowadays, well, maybe not Igor, but most of the goalies nowadays are like 6'2 and up.
Yeah.
I'm like, he was freakishly, like, quick as a cat.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Igor is, too. So that kind of made my night last night.
Well, know,
having
good.
To endure the whole Islander thing because, you know, John Ledecky came over, great
yeah.
guy.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that Peter Schwartz was in his suite. I mean, what
Schwartz was in Ledecky's suite?
That's what I heard. That's what word got to me.
Definitely asked.
My man Sean Landetta showed up last night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
In your suite?
Well, I saw him walking around, so I said, come on in.
Okay, yeah, I mean, this was like a full-blown America's Guest spot for everybody last night, huh?
Well, it had to be. I mean, they were all there to see Matt and wish him well, and it was great.
What about John Franco? Did he get himself
I
in
did
there?
Not see John Franco.
Missed opportunity
John Franco.
For John.
I thought he was going to be around, but no.
Was John Stark selling Kias outside?
No, he wasn't out there
okay,
yet.
Okay, so that really wasn't that special of a night if those two guys weren't there.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, they have to really put the stamp of approval on what a big night in New York sports is, Starks and Franco, if they if they are around. But, I mean, Landetta, Schwartz, and Wally,
yeah.
you know, though that I mean, that's like a...
And Richter.
And, well, yeah.
And but Neil Smith.
But I was going to say... Those,
Bleach Butt.
All right, so... Landetta, Schwartz, Wally, Bleach Butt.
Yeah.
That right there is a Mount Rushmore leech spot. Is it not?
I invited Wally. I did. I didn't, you know, he didn't say anything to me. I said, hey, you want to see Matt's last game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play golf together and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking
I
about?
I was there during that conversation.
Oh, you were?
I was right there. And Wally implied that he would like to go, and then then you said, would you, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you going?
I love Wally.
Because you and Cal.
He's like my own personal ATM.
I love Wally, too, but don't act as if he didn't know anything about it, because it was, I watched this whole interaction. You know me, I don't miss a thing.
Yeah, I know.
I don't miss a thing.
Yeah.
And you and Cal were talking about the game, and you asked where he was going to be for Matt's last game. And
right.
And then you said, well, I got the suite. And then Cal was like, well, I'll probably be in Ledecky's suite. And then Wally was like, so what's going on? He like popped his head up like a meerkat.
You know what?
And he's looking around. And then
he had FOMO.
Oh, did he?
Fear of missing out. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Of course. So, yeah.
That's what happened.
But no, we love Wally. We love all those guys.
All those guys.
Love
but
Matt
it was,
and everything else.
It was emotional last night, but then again, you know, 16 years in the NHL, it's a long time.
Yeah. You didn't cry because
no,
that's
I was
not
sitting next to my daughter who was crying.
She was it like a weeping?
You know, and she's so like.
She's, yeah, emotional, pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hormones rushing through her body right now.
Well, of course. Yeah.
She's got two animals in there. They're going to be like their dad running into people head
oh,
first.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't wait. They already got one daughter that's like that.
You're just running around and running.
Oh,
people.
It's great. It's unbelievable. So she looks great. She feels great. She's about 6 weeks away.
Oh, my God.
And you can't really hug her because her stomach is out like 3 feet.
Yeah.
But her hair and her skin looks unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
You know, the women with the hormones and the pregnancy.
She's crying. You know, I'm like, all right, okay.
Well, what do you want her to do?
Well,
then?
You knew this was coming.
I mean, I would hope that she would cry.
I mean, they didn't cry when I retired.
Well, they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
They had no idea like this.
They were 6-5. They knew exactly
Stop
what was going
it.
On.
They didn't know. Six
yes.
and five?
I was driving them to Buckley Country Day. I turned around. I said, hey, guys, by the way, I'm retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And they started like you know, hyperventilating.
Oh. Hyperventilating, not crying.
Well, I mean, it led to crying.
Oh, but you just said they weren't crying.
Yeah, but then I told Gunnar, and I said, look, Gunnar. This means I could play hockey with you now.
Oh, then okay.
And he goes, okay, great. This father-son, this Sunday, you're in. And I had to go out and buy skates and everything. That's how it all happened. I didn't have one of these, like, going-away parties. I didn't go back to Cincinnati and retire as a Bengal and all that crap.
Yeah.
So like Patrick Peterson went back to Arizona.
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys like to do contract. That stuff, yeah.
Well, they do it now. I don't think they did it back in your generation, did they? They didn't go back, sign a one-day contract, you retire a particular...
Yeah, I don't know. I just said I'm not coming back. I'm moving forward.
Yeah, but I mean, you knew it was going to be like this because how long, you know, I mean, Matt and the Islanders, and they're going to stay here, obviously, on Long Island. I mean, he's probably going to do something with the organization, I would imagine,
yeah, I don't
right?
know. You know what? He could actually do TV. You know, he's so good looking, he could just keep the microphone in front of his face and not say anything.
Well,
all the female fans will tune in just for that.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean,
isn't shirtless?
Isn't Cal doing that now?
Yeah, he's doing that.
So I mean, was he gonna? He's gonna get? He's gonna knock Cal out of there? He can't do that. Can't have all those guys.
They got like
TV
97
broadcast.
Guys all doing everything. You know, I have no idea. All I know is that you know, he's highly respected within the organization, from John Ledecky to Lou Lamoriello to Patrick Waugh. And you know, they'll figure something out, or he'll figure something out. And you know, he's got his own foundation. He was very popular with his skating academy and all that other stuff, the kids' skating camp. So, hey, all that stuff is, you know, in the future. He's still a very young man.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.